You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for tuning in to the newest episode of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soaker. This episode is being released on September 11th, 2025. And this week, we're talking about the biblical plan for dealing with criminals. Whenever the news reports on a particularly gruesome crime, often a murder, and one that should never have happened, people wonder why it happened and how something like that could have been prevented and how it could be prevented in the future. Thankfully, the Bible provides some help on this if our society will listen to it. For links to the story we're talking about and some other related materials, check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/091125. Now for our story this week. Ukrainian refugee 23 who fled war for safer life in the U.S. knifed to death by homeless career criminal in North Carolina. From the New York Post, a 23-year-old Ukrainian refugee who recently fled her war-torn home for a safer life in the U.S. was knifed to death by a homeless career criminal at a North Carolina train station last week, according to family members and authorities. Irina Zarutska suffered multiple stab wounds and was pronounced dead at the East-West Boulevard light rail station in South End, Charlotte, just before 10 p.m. Friday, the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department said Saturday. She had recently arrived in the United States seeking safety from the war and hoping for a new beginning. DeCarlos Brown Jr., 34, was identified as a suspect and transported to a local hospital with non-life-threatening injuries Friday night. He has since been arrested and charged with first-degree murder, cops said. Brown has been arrested a slew of times since 2011 for felony larceny, robbery with a dangerous weapon, and communicating threats, according to court records obtained by the Post. This was a horrific murder of an innocent woman on public transit that was caught on camera. It was completely unprovoked, and the murderer had a long history of criminal activity, but kept being released. We've talked often on this podcast about the responsibility of civil authorities, and one of those responsibilities is to punish evildoers. But what does the Bible teach that could have made a crime like this much less likely to happen? But since it has happened, what does the Bible teach that should happen to the one who has committed a crime like this? There are a few points for us to consider today. First one is this. We need to remember how crimes against one's fellow man were punished under the law of Moses. And there are a few different punishments that we find when we read through the Old Testament. One is flogging. If there is a dispute between men and they go to court and the judges decide their case and they justify the righteous and condemn the wicked, then it shall be that if the wicked man deserves to be beaten, the judge shall then make him lie down and be beaten in his presence with a number of stripes according to his guilt. He may beat him 40 times, but no more, so that he does not beat him with many more stripes than these, and your brother is not degraded in your eyes. This is sometimes referred to as corporal punishment. It's not meant to kill somebody. It's not meant to permanently injure them, but it's meant to inflict enough pain to deter them from committing that same crime in the future. Another punishment is a fine. Exodus 21 says, if men have a quarrel and one strikes the other with a stone or with his fist, and he does not die but remains in bed, if he gets up and walks around outside on his staff, then he who struck him shall go unpunished. He shall only pay for his loss of time, and he shall take care of him until he is completely healed. So when this happened, he was not punished in the way that we're going to see here in just a minute, but he did have to pay a fine to the victim. It was not just meant to be a punishment, but also designed to help make things right because his injuries caused him to miss work and to lose time, and that was meant to make up that difference. Then similar to that is the punishment of restitution. If a man steals an ox or a sheep and slaughters it or sells it, he shall pay 5 oxen for the ox and 4 sheep for the sheep. If the thief is caught while breaking in and is struck so that he dies, there shall be no blood guiltiness on his account. But if the sun has risen on him, there will be blood guiltiness on his account. He shall surely make restitution. If he owns nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. If what he stole is actually found alive in his possession, whether an ox or a donkey or a sheep, he shall pay double. If a man lets a field or vineyard be grazed bare and lets his animal loose so that it grazes in another man's field, he shall make restitution from the best of his own field and the best of his own vineyard. If a fire breaks out and spreads to thorn bushes so that the stacked grain or the standing grain or the field itself is consumed, he who started the fire shall surely make restitution. So this is similar to the fines. If someone's action resulted in the destruction or loss of someone's property, he was to restore that, and then some. And if he could not pay, he was sold into slavery in order to pay his debt. And then another punishment that we often think of is death. It says over in Numbers 35, but if he struck him down with an iron object so that he died, he is a murderer, and the murderer shall surely be put to death. And that passage goes on and talks about other ways that someone could have killed someone and committed murder. But someone who is guilty of that would be put to death. And it's not just for someone who commits murder. Also, the crime of adultery was punishable by death. This is a crime with a victim who is the innocent spouse. This was punished the same way. Leviticus 20 and verse 10. If there is a man who commits adultery with another man's wife, one who commits adultery with his friend's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. This is the ultimate punishment and a real deterrent for others who might otherwise commit these same crimes. But how does our society punish crimes? It's not like they did in the Old Testament. What we often think of is jail or someone goes to prison, but the number of repeat offenders suggests that for a lot of people, this really isn't that much of a deterrent, especially when you have career criminals and ones who are arrested multiple times. Prison is not much of a deterrent to them. Sometimes fines are offered, but those are paid to the government oftentimes. You might have rehabilitation programs, not restitution to the victim or enslavement in order to pay back the victim. You have rehabilitation programs that really completely disregard the victims. And then in some cases you have the death penalty. This is rarely, if ever, carried out. And when it is done, it is only after years of prison. Now, we need to remember, as we think about how to deal with criminals, God has given civil authorities the responsibility to bear the sword. We've talked about this multiple times on the podcast, but remember Romans 13, verses 3 and 4. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. When that passage says to bear the sword, that means to do violence against those who harm others. This includes, but is not limited to, the death penalty. Yet our society, in many cases, has opted for nonviolent punishment like jail or rehabilitation. Add to that the fact that punishment is often slow to be carried out, and it's no wonder why crime has gotten out of control in some places. The wise man said, because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed quickly, therefore the hearts of the sons of men among them are given fully to do evil. This is exactly what we see in many parts of the country, including the case of this horrific murder in Charlotte. Now, some Christians protest the death penalty by saying that the way of Christ does not include violence. Yet the way of Christ absolutely includes civil authorities bearing the sword against evildoers. And when Paul talked about the sword, that was not a metaphor for nonviolent punishment. Now, when we think about the death penalty or punishment like that, some may protest and say, well, we're not under the law of Moses. And that's true. But the responsibility of civil authorities is the same. The need to punish criminals has not changed. And what God gave to Moses was a model for how a nation was to deal with crimes against the innocent. And another point, sometimes we don't talk about this, but some are beyond any reasonable hope of rehabilitation. We don't like to think about that, but it's true. Some have become like unreasoning animals. And Peter talked about this in 2 Peter 2 and verse 12. But these like unreasoning animals, born as creatures of instinct to be captured and killed, reviling where they have no knowledge, will in the destruction of those creatures also be destroyed. Some cannot be reasoned with. They act like animals. They'll face destruction like an animal. You have those whose conscience has been seared. Paul said, by means of the hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. They no longer feel any guilt or remorse for their actions, even when they harm others. And you have some who have rejected God and developed a depraved mind. Paul talked about this in Romans chapter 1. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. And someone might protest, well, the gospel can still reach them. In theory, yes. But do not gloss over that statement about God giving them over to a depraved mind. They made their choice, or in reality, it was a series of choices. So God gave them up to the consequences of their choices. And if that involves harming the innocent, then those consequences include civil authorities using the sword or doing violence against them. That is God's plan. And it's not our place as disciples of Christ to say, no, we have another plan. We need to trust God and His plan. So in summary, the responsibility of civil authorities is to encourage goodness, in part by punishing wickedness. The responsibility of Christians, and also the church, is to encourage holiness, righteousness, and godliness by preaching the gospel and teaching the principles that are found in the Word of God. Both of those are God's plan. But too many Christians have tried to take the sword away from civil authorities because of the task that has been given to the church. We cannot do that. Both of them are necessary. And stories like this one that's been reported in the news demonstrate the need for civil authorities to bear the sword in punishing evildoers. That's all for this week. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. Hope you found this episode to be helpful. For links to the story we talked about and some other related materials, check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/091125. If you have a moment to rate and review the podcast or share it with others, that is always appreciated. And if you're listening to this, remember that we also upload video versions of the podcast to the Plain Bible Teaching YouTube channel. So if you prefer to watch this on video, that option is there for you. And if you're watching this on YouTube, please like this video and subscribe to the channel so you can see the other videos we post here from time to time. And if you're interested in seeing the script for this episode, you can check that out on Substack. That will also be linked in the show notes. And if you have a news story or have some topic that you would like to have discussed here on the podcast, send that to me at andy@plainbibleteaching.com. Thanks again for listening, and I hope to talk to you again next time.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others. Also, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching Weekly Newsletter. This free newsletter will be delivered to your inbox each Friday with articles, podcasts, videos, sermon outlines, and more. Visit plainbibleteaching.com to subscribe today.